Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Earlier today, had a chance to sit down from NBC Sports. Chris Sims stopped by. And Chris has been on our program numerous times and broke down the film and talked about to the Green Bay Packers, the offenses and such. We had a great conversation, not only about Super Bowl, but started out talking about the Green Bay Packers. Here it is. So let's first of all start out talking about this Packers season that didn't end the way it all Packers fans had hoped. But right. Now you've got a new coach. You've got thoughts about Aaron Rodgers being coachable or uncoachable. Give me your view of things.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, let's just start right there. Still the best quarterback in football for my money.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is great, but I mean, gosh, if you put Aaron Rodgers on the Patriots or the Kansas City Chiefs, I think he'd be doing a lot of the same things or be in the Super Bowl like the New England Patriots are. I do. I think he is still phenomenal. I'm glad to see them make the coaching change. Like, I like Mike McCarthy, the head coach. Mm-hmm. You've heard me probably say it right. A million times. Never in love with that offense. That offense is, there's teams around the league that would truly make fun of Green Bay's offense. It was one of the words that was always used was the day one, day two installation, which is basically meaning like our base first 10 or 15 plays that we put in for the kids that are coming out of college. Like, that was the meat and potatoes of the Green Bay Packers and what they were doing. So I'm glad to see some new fresh ideas. I think the combination between LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett is a very good one.
Tell me why you like them so much.
Well, LaFleur, again, do I think it's a little premature as far as him being a head coach? Definitely. Like, mm-hmm. I would have liked to seen him be a play caller for another year or two before he got to this point. But I think, again, the current environment in the NFL, everybody's trying to look for the next Sean McVay. LaFleur does have some of those qualities. He is an outside-the-box thinker. He's been with a McVay, a Kyle Shanahan. He knows how to orchestrate game plans. He's not like an egotistical dictator who's going to be like, this is my way, and this is the way I ran the play in 1984, I'm never going to change. Oh, no, you have to change. Bill Belichick changes more than anybody in football, and we praise him for it, but yet the other coaches in football don't want to, like, recognize that he's always learning more, trying to, what's a better way I can do it, whatever it is. So I think LaFleur, Nathaniel Hackett had the number 6 offense in football with Blake Bortles. I mean, you're doing that. I mean, you're towards the top of football. Blake Bortles can only throw three routes, mm-hmm. and he orchestrated 90 million ways 2 years ago to throw those three routes for Blake Bortles. Both of these guys believe in the run game a little too. I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers have somewhat of a run game for one point in his career. So I do like that. And as far as the Aaron Rodgers uncoachable thing, listen, I don't know Aaron Rodgers that well. I've met him once in my life, and you know I love him and how highly I think of him as a player. I'm sure he's got a little ego, but I just want to tell everybody out there, there's not a star quarterback in football that doesn't. I mean, Brady pushes back against some of the things the New England coaches say too, but it's okay. They take it on the chin and they move on. And I just don't look at Aaron Rodgers as being uncoachable. Maybe you know more than me.
No, you know what? Matt LaFleur said they had a great conversation. The only thing I said all along that you come in with an inherent amount of respect.
Right.
Until you figure it out. And if you figure out this guy's going to challenge you and coach you the way you like to be coached, that's one thing. If you don't, then, boy, you've got at least a couple of years of headbutting or waiting. You need to figure it out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do. I know what you mean. And, the game has to be made easier for Aaron Rodgers. You've heard me probably say it when I've been on before, but, for them to have success, he's got to do 4 cartwheels, a backflip, and then throw a 30-yard laser sideways down the field. Think about the big moments of Aaron Rodgers' career, the degree of difficulty where he's asked to pull off these plays in these moments. We all wax about, and I'm not trying to take any shots at Tom Brady, about what he did last week in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. You mean what? He threw a slant to Rob Gronkowski in a big moment? You mean he threw to Julian Edelman 10 yards over the middle, wide open? I know people are going to take that like I'm taking a shot at Brady, but I'm saying Brady is put in positions a lot to be successful in those moments because the coaches have figured out a formula or a game plan to take advantage of that. Where I think in Aaron Rodgers' case, it's been like, hey, just drop back and, you know, sit in the pocket. And he's had some good pass protection throughout the years and just make something happen. And it's never like, oh, I can just drop back, throw the ball in rhythm, and somebody will be wide open down the middle like we see a New England do or Sean McVay and the Rams do on a consistent basis. And I think that's maybe where you hear the uncoachable thing with Aaron Rodgers, because he's probably looking at it going like, damn, how are these guys always open? What are these coaches doing, teaching, and everything like that? And here I am, you know, having to sit back here and pat the ball 35 times and make magic happen for us to just move the ball at all.
You know, it's interesting because I had tweeted out immediately following the AFC Championship game. I said, Tom Brady, he makes it look easy because he takes what you give him.
Yes.
And I think that's been the Bill Belichick mantra, which is they've walked in lockstep on that.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers has had a bunch of guys that have been asked to go on ISO routes and get open.
Yes.
And now he's got somebody that can scheme.
Yep.
So maybe in that aspect he becomes more comfortable, because some people say, well, he's bored. He's not bored.
No.
I don't believe in that. I think
he's
that
probably frustrated.
But I think Brady, what he's done, has done that in that system better than anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a shame to label him as a system quarterback because he's mastered it.
Right. I don't think there's you're right. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I mean, Brady, I will never say Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. I know a lot of people give me crap for this, and I understand he's got all the rings, and he's the most accomplished. But like I've told you before, I mean, I think if Dan Marino was playing for the New England Patriots, they'd have five Super Bowls. I think if Aaron Rodgers was playing for the Patriots, they'd have five Super Bowls. And that's not a knock on Tom Brady. He's taken advantage of every opportunity he's got. He's been incredibly clutch. He's an awesome player, too. I'm trying to add that to it. He's got a big-time arm. You saw last week, he's still got the 100-mile-per-hour fastball when he needs it. But again, yes, to what you're saying, he was brought up in a culture where his first Super Bowl, he threw for 145 yards and one touchdown and one MVP, and we praise him like it was like he saved the team. 50 of those yards were on the last drive of the game. He was under 100 yards for the game until the last drive. He got a chance to grow into what he's doing right now.
But he rose in the biggest moment.
No doubt.
He's always flourished in that.
Yeah. Clutchest guy there's been, and there's no doubt about that. I don't deny that, but I'm just saying it's different from Aaron Rodgers from day one, where it was like, take over for Brett Favre and be the man and just take over and do everything. And that's not always easy to do.
So what's the most important thing the Packers, because I've said all along that for people that talk about pass rush and restocking that secondary and they don't have safeties and Clinton Dix and the release and all that kind of stuff, to me it's fortifying the offensive line. That right side of the line was weak this past year.
Horrible.
Brian Bulaga's got some issues, obviously, health-wise, coming to the end of his career. You put a good line in front of him, you can scheme some of the young talent they have, scheme them open, and I think you'll be fine.
I think so, too. I mean, that was the reason I
thought. Plus, it'll enhance your run game.
Right, exactly right. I think that's what I want to see them run the football and get that aspect. I mean, Aaron Rodgers off play-action pass, I mean, that sounds like a great formula to me. I mean, he hasn't really ever had to do that through his career or had the benefit of being able to do that. But, yeah, it was one of the reasons I didn't think the Packers can make that magical run this year like we've seen Rodgers do because of what you just said. Like, at least in the other years, he might have not had a lot of other things, but he had pass protection to where he could dance around and wait for guys to get open and move around in the pocket. This year, there was no opportunity for that. Offensive line helps, certainly. I wouldn't mind seeing them get another speed guy at receiver just to scare people a little bit.
Free agent or
yeah, free or draft. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't care either way. And then, you know, there's some things I like in the secondary for the Packers. There really is. I mean, I don't know how the people up in Green Bay feel about, like, the Justin Jones kid, North Carolina State. I like him. Of course, the young corners they got some potential. The kid from Iowa, Jair Alexander, I would say, is already
– he's arrived,
He's in the elite class of corners, as is. They need
Kevin King to stay healthy.
They need Kevin King,
He proved he can play with anybody. He just can't stay healthy.
Exactly. And legit pass rusher. Like, I thought that was a big thing. Pass rusher, and when Muhammad Wilkerson got hurt and took that extra big body, there wasn't a lot of depth there in that interior D-line. I thought that hurt.
Do you like the structure when Mark Murphy, the president, took over and said, hey, everybody's going to report to me now. I'm no longer going to allow the Ted Thompsons to sit at the end of the hall and keep everybody at arm's length.
I do. I like that. You know, I think when you look at the great organizations, and let's just say New England right off the bat, Not that they're reporting to Mr. Kraft, right, on a daily basis or anything like that. But Mr. Kraft's always there in the building. And
well, he has sit-downs. I mean, it's not like anything different than what goes on with Mark Murphy now with everybody in the coaching
staff.
That's
what I mean, right.
He
so
sits
he's
down with
there.
Everybody.
He has a feel of what's going on in the organization on a daily basis. It keeps everybody on their toes. Oh, damn, the boss is here. I don't care if you're Bill Belichick or whoever you are. When you know the owner of the team's there in the building, yeah, you're going to cross your T's and dot your I's a little more thoroughly when he's there every day to know everything that's going on. And I think Mark Murphy is kind of trying to pull off that role, and I do like it. I agree with it.
Is there anything to be kind of strewn from no big-money quarterbacks in the Super Bowl? Getting to the postseason.
Yeah.
The $150 million guys aren't here.
Right. No, I mean, it's we're seeing the Rams. Yes, they've got away with it with the first round pick, and they're being able to live, you know, off that rookie quarterback contract as well. But I don't look at it as like it's going to end your team and you won't be any good.
Now, we saw it last year with the Eagles too.
Exactly right. I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, hey, Russell Wilson. There's certainly some advantages to that as well, but there's other aspects and teams. I mean, hey, Peyton Manning was really good. Drew Brees is making a lot of money. They were in the Final Four. So you can still orchestrate a team and build it the proper way while paying your quarterback big-time money.
Who's going to win this thing and why?
Well, I'm going with the Patriots. One, because, I mean, they're the Patriots. That's why. I mean, the Rams are the more talented football team. The biggest thing I have an issue with in this game for the Rams is they have no depth on their team. They are a top-heavy team. They've paid a lot of players big money. You know, the Gurleys, the Aaron Donalds, the Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. When you look at their roster, they're starting 22. That's who plays the whole game. That scares me against New England, who, like we saw last week against Kansas City, they're going to keep the pace up. All of a sudden you look up and you go, why can't Dee Ford or Justin Houston get close to Tom Brady? Why? Because they run. They run. They play action. They throw a screen. They run again. They do another play action. And they keep the pace up to where when it came fourth quarter and Dee Ford and them had to rush the quarterback, they were exhausted. They couldn't do it anymore. And that's where it scares me in this one. A lot like the Seattle Super Bowl with the Patriots in Super Bowl 49. They ran a lot of plays. They spread them out. Brady got the ball out of his hands. Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill weren't even a part of the football game, and that's where I feel like they're going to, you know, take Aaron Donald out of the football game too. That's what I worry about in the Rams. I say the Patriots. I'm going to say the Patriots win. Like, I'm going to go 28-24.
If people want to find you other than just here from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. Radio Row, where are they going to find you?
Well, NBC Sports. I do Pro Football Talk in the morning with Mike Florio from 7 to 9 on NBC Sports or the radio. It's a simulcast there. And then my Bleacher Report stuff. I still do that, my podcast, Sims and Lefko. So got it all going on. I'm busy as hell. I'll be happy when this week's over.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. You the man.
There you go. That was Chris Sims of the Bleacher Report, NBC Sports, and always great to get him to come over and sit down with us and chat with us for a little while. And he gave us more time than we have originally asked for. So Chris Sims, always fantastic.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.